It was a fascinating moment Wednesday afternoon when the release came out, and then 30 minutes later when the chairman of the Fed walked to the podium and announced that interest rates were coming down. And it'd been a long time, 23-year high on interest rates, but they're dropping, and they're dropping pretty aggressively. But the decision process, what was it like? Ambassador Richard Fisher is the former CEO of the Dallas Federal Reserve and former Federal Reserve Open Market Committee member. He's now senior advisor to Jefferies and Company, the big investment bank, and he serves on the board of Tenet Healthcare and Warner Brothers Discovery. And, of course, you see him as senior contributing editor at CNBC, but for decades you've heard him here. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. You and I have been friends for over 40 years.
We have.
And so, we're still in our early 40s. Amazing.
So, it's amazing how we don't age. So take me into that room today. I mean, there was a dissenter, so it wasn't unanimous. You look at the environment. We've had this bazooka of money that was thrown at the economy to turn it around in COVID. Now, you've got an election pending out there, so a lot of people pulling you in different directions. What was going on at that table?
Well, first of all, so you understand how the decisions are made. The chairman surveys the 12 bank presidents and also the governors before the meeting takes place. They have a blackout period, runs for a week beforehand, and several options are circulated to the 19 members, including Mr. Powell. He knows what his own options are.
Right.
A week beforehand. And then they get together, as they have the last 2 days. Before they get together, the chairman, Mr. Powell, has called all the bankers, because he's already talked to the governors who are in Washington. So we have 12 Federal Reserve banks. And he asked each Federal Reserve Bank president, which option would you support? So by the time they get to the meeting, which starts on Tuesday afternoon, they already know where they're going to be for the most part. And then some changes are made, which is why it takes until, I'd say, 10:30 in the morning on Wednesday to get the final decision done, which is done today. And then the chairman prepares for the press conference and bounces ideas off of the members of the committee. And then he goes to the press conference. I would say this, David, what the chairman says in the press conference is even more important,
right?
Because he gives color to what the paper that came out, the statement that came out, says. And what's interesting today, actually, interest rates went up, not down. Longer out on what's called the yield curve. So if you look at the 10-year treasury, it went above 3.7. It was below that. If you look at the 2-year and others, they went up. They did not go down.
So was this what we know in the stock market is buy on the rumor and sell on the news?
No, I think it's a question of what signal was sent as interpreted by market participants. Powell did a great job today in the press conference. And I just want to note, he did an especially good job in answering the question from the Fox reporter, which obviously was a Trump-driven question. Was this a political decision? It never is, David. I served 10 years on that committee, never heard a discussion about politics at all. And obviously, over 10 years, you go through an election cycle. In fact, you go through two. So I thought he handled that masterfully. The Fed does what's best for the economy, not what's for the markets. He emphasized that. And then CNN asked sort of what I would consider an anti-Trump question, which was the idea of a president being involved in Federal Reserve decision-making. We all know that no central bank in the world wants the executive involved because it becomes politically driven. And in every country where that's occurred, David, usually third world countries, there is hyperinflation that ensues. So, and we had a chairman at the Fed named Arthur Burns, who gave in to two presidents, and that ended up in being a hyperinflationary environment where Paul Volcker had to come in, even at the risk, because Ronald Reagan tried to impeach him, of making the tough decision to save the world from hyperinflation. So I thought Powell did a good job on those two fronts especially. But from the decision standpoint, they cut 50 basis points on the Fed funds rate. That's the anchor for the yield curve. And yet what's interesting is the rest of the yield curve went up in late trading after the presser.
Right.
And I think what that may indicate that the market, right or wrong, is saying to itself or market participants, is there something more here than we can see? Is the Fed really worried despite their comments? And I think that is the kind of reaction that's led to this pop-up back
well,
up.
You know,
and just one other thing, David.
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't forget, whether it's Trump or Harris, our budget is out of control. Deficits are out of control. We're spending $2 billion a day on interest payments, which is more than the Defense Department cost our taxpayers. And so I think there is a worry that this is going to get worse and not get better, no matter who is elected president, because neither of them has said anything about bringing deficits under control.
But on the shorter run, I made a note of two things he said. He said the risk of inflation have come down, but he
Correct.
Said the downside risks to employment have increased. So suddenly it looks like that's where the concern is right now.
I think he made that clear in his Jackson Hole speech, which is the key speech the Fed chairman makes during the end of August. And there's no question, but let's keep this in perspective. The unemployment rate where it is now is one of the lowest in history, still. And so what you're looking for is to make sure you're not pushing the economy into recession. So far, and he made this statement during the press conference, in this last quarter, the economy is growing somewhere above 2%, pretty much the historic norm. And in fact, the Atlanta Fed number, which many market participants look at, has the second quarter coming in at, or the current quarter coming in at 3% plus. So nonetheless, the market seems to have had a little shiver here, that maybe there's something they're not seeing because they move so dramatically instead of 25 basis points.
Tell me about the Fisher Index here. I mean, there's been some speculation. They're behind the curve. They're too late, and they're scrambling now to throw a lifeline to the economy to keep it from tipping over because they should have been cutting interest rates going back to, I don't know, maybe July.
I don't accept that. In fact, if I were at the table, which thanks for – to all of our listeners, I am no longer, having spent 10 years at that table, I would have argued for 25 basis points, not 50. And then if the data comes in and it's weakening dramatically, we could have done 50 at the next meeting. But that's what Michelle Bowman, the governor, argued, obviously. I wouldn't read a whole lot into that dissent, but just so there's a real discussion that took place.
Tell me about they call it the J curve, but what it is, I mean, it's just common sense is interest rates start coming down. I'm a consumer. I'm thinking about buying a house or buying a car or buying some clothes. And I said, well, gee, you know, he said interest rates are going to keep dropping. Why should I buy this now? Why don't I put it off and wait when it's going to be cheaper because interest rates are coming down? And all of a sudden, you're slowing the economy down rather than igniting it.
Well, theoretically, if you cut rates after a time lag, and he also mentioned this, which is important to understand, rates don't come down immediately across the market. If you think your credit card rate's going to come down tomorrow, forget about it. If you think prices are going to come down overnight, they're not. If you think the economy is going to accelerate based on this decision overnight, it will not. There is a variable and long lag, which nobody knows exactly the amount of time. So they're really talking about looking into the future, not what is likely to occur immediately. The only difference is trading markets today are different than when you and I got started. The 70% plus is driven by momentum traders and algorithmic traders. And so you see volatility constantly. And that's, I think, a little bit of the pushback today, too, because those that jumped on the forward momentum pushed markets higher, and then they change their mind or decide to trade out, and then the market sold off in the end at the close.
Let me ask you one last question, and this is a phrase that always gets everybody in trouble, but I'm going to try it again anyway. It's different this time, and the reason it's different this time is because we had a pandemic, And the Fed just flooded the economy with money to keep it afloat because we didn't know how bad this was going to be, how many people were going to die, how global it was going to be. And so we flooded it with money. And so now we're in the process of pulling that back. So this was an abnormal part of the cycle. This is not the kind of thing that we read about in economic books.
Well, it was a shock to the system. Remember, when I was there, even though I voted against it, we took the balance sheet to about $4 trillion. And Janet Yellen, as chair, started paring that back. Then Powell takes over, appointed by Donald Trump, by the way, and we have a panic, the panic you just described. So in March of 2020, the markets began, the credit markets in particular, began to disintegrate once again.
Yeah.
And it could have been like it happened in 2008 and 2009, which is when we had the panic, great financial crisis. So the Fed began to, they not only cut rates down, although they were still low, they were already real low, they expanded the balance sheet to almost $9 trillion. Now, that's where you get your monetary expansion when you buy up all the treasuries. And you also announce new facilities. Frankly, it's what you say, not what you do, because then the markets react.
Right.
They didn't have to do a whole lot. So that's the way the system works. And now they've been paring back on the balance sheet substantially. They've reduced it by over $2 trillion. What was said today was they're going to continue that process. And that's where you withdraw. The real problem, David, is not, I don't believe, is the Fed. It's our irresponsible Congress and fiscal authorities. Both sides, whether they're Republican or Democrat, as George Shultz, the wise old great cabinet member, used to say, in Congress, it doesn't matter when it comes to spending. There's no difference between Democrats and Republicans, with one exception, he said. Democrats enjoy it more, and that was it. And you're seeing it now. I mean, again, both of these candidates are announcing programs that are going to lead to even further deficits. And no one has the, forgive the term, the cojones to start reining it in. Neither party.
Right.
They're all irresponsible. And I think all that fiscal spending also has driven the inflationary impulse. The Fed has had to counter it, even though they don't say it that way.
I think I just heard you throw your hat in the ring again. We'll watch for the announcement later on.
Never, David.
Richard,
I'm too old. I'm tired. I'm ready to do another thing.
Well, it's been proved that you're not too old, in fact, when we've been watching very, very closely. Richard Fisher, our guest today. It's always wonderful. We always learn a lot from you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David.
Thanks a lot. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.